Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And from TSN, our hockey insider Darren Dreger joins us now on the heels of big news from Buffalo last night, sending Paterka to Utah in exchange for Kesselring and Doan. Darren, your immediate and now reflection time on the deal from last night. What did you make of it?
Well, it was interesting, right? So we got wind of it probably around 9:30 Eastern that there was something in the works, but pinning it down as to what it exactly was going to be was the challenging part, as is the case pretty much on every trade chase that we do. At one point, wondered whether or not Sean Durzi would be part of it coming back. And then, as it turned out, that wasn't the case. There was some speculation as to whether there was a flipping of picks that was going to be included in all this. And then as it got a bit later and it got later, Kesselring and Doan's name surfaced. But again, you know, that was unconfirmed. It felt like somewhere along the line, there was a bit of a snag in the negotiation, which is why it took maybe longer to wrap up. But, you know, in the end, it seems fairly orchestrated, I would say, by Alan Walsh and JJ Paterka, because, you know, almost immediately and not coincidentally, Paterka gets his contract extension, with Utah. But what's interesting about it is, and look, there are critics out there. There are critics across the league. I'm talking about other hockey operations departments, not necessarily general managers, but rivals, right, who would look at this deal and go, geez, okay, they give up a 23-year-old winger, a pretty highly regarded player, and, yeah, they get back a right-shot defenseman who's a physical player, so he's going to bring in some bite in Michael Kesselring. And they get back Josh Doan, who's a high-character player. You know, is he a bottom six? Can he slide into the top six? Eventually, don't know. There's a level of uncertainty. Is that enough for Paterka? And I guess my immediate reaction would be yes, because it was also very evident that J.J. Paterka did not want to stay in Buffalo and wasn't going to extend in Buffalo. So are you better to wait, or looking at what you're looking at, which is another season of uncertainty, try and make your team better right now so that you're not dealing with all of the negativity anymore. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with a more positive outlook moving forward. So in that sense, I think that Buffalo did well.
Do you feel like it happened quickly in one day, or with, you know, Kevin Adams' press conference 2 days ago, not answering if Paterka had asked for a trade and saying there's a lot of, you know, misinformation, but now we kind of know that that was happening now, and the same for Bo Byram potentially. But do you think like it happened quickly in one day after the presser and everything, or this was for weeks had been kind of worked on?
Well, I don't think that something like this happens quickly. So, I mean, and how many conversations? The Paterka speculation has been out there for months, if not longer. And doesn't it feel like every segment I come on with you guys, you know, at least a couple of times a month, we'd ask about Paterka. And I'd have to take Buffalo's position, which was obviously Kevin Adams' position, in saying, look, we're not keenly interested in trading J.J. Paterka. Don't know where this speculation is coming from. There's no active trade conversation. But anytime you have something like that, as open and as vocal publicly as it was, well, guess what happens? Teams are calling, and they're constantly calling. And then there's another wave of speculation, and different teams start calling, right? So I think it just got to a point where, you know, Adams wisely just said, look, I'm not interested in trading him, but make me a deal that makes sense, that I think is, let's have a conversation about it. And then so it eventually evolved into where they get to. But what's more interesting for me now is how we move forward. And I can tell you guys, when that deal was finally announced, confirmed last night, wee hours of the morning, smiles on the faces of general managers with interest in Bo Byram. Right? Because all along, Bo Byram was the more likely of those two guys to get traded. But the response from Adams was, if I'm trading Bo Byram, I need a right shot defenseman coming back the other way as part of the package. Well, he gets the right shot defenseman in Kesselring. So now all of these general managers who have interest in Byram but didn't want to have to give up one of their own right shot D are kind of trying to look at things creatively. Okay, well, maybe we're back in on this with Bo Byram. And so the list of teams that would have interest in Bo Byram, it's pretty extensive. I mean, it's 6, 7, 8 teams deep, legitimate players for Bo Byram at this stage.
Do you think that's next for them? Or do you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And the reason why is contractual, right? No different than Paterka. Maybe a different approach by the agent. Alan Walsh represents J.J. Paterka. Darren Ferris now represents Bo Byram. Ferris isn't going to hold Adams and the Buffalo Sabres feet to the fire right now. But a year from now, oh boy, look out, right? Because now you're right in the wheelhouse. The Ferris wheel is what we call it. Because the player has arbitration rights now. So that gives you 1 year. What do you think is going to happen a year from now? You know, he's just going to say, no, we're going to free agency a year after that. So, you know, let's see how it plays out. I mean, Bo Byram is such a valued piece. You know, I'll name some of the teams. Ken Holland and the Los Angeles Kings would love to find a way to acquire Bo Byram. You know, they often will go with five forwards on defense. You know, you've got Doughty there as a big part of that power play. But can you not see Bo Byram helping out the LA Kings power play? Vegas. Oh, yeah. Kelly McCrimmon is keen on Bo Byram. I don't know how he's going to be able to manage all of it because there's never-ending speculation that he's going to find a way to sign Mitch Marner as an unrestricted free agent. You know, he's already extended some players there in Saad and Riley Smith. So he's going to have to move out some bodies. But that kind of takes me back to what I said in the acquisition of Kesselring as a right-shot D-man. So now does that open the door for McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights again to get a little bit more creative? Mm-hmm. Could you see Nick Hague and something else? You know, sweeten it to a point where you become a legitimate trade contender for Bo Byram. So there's LA, there's Vegas. St. Louis, I know, is interested in Bo Byram. Philadelphia reportedly has had interest. It was warm, then it was a little bit more cool. Maybe it warms up now again because of the ask. The return to Colorado, I think Colorado, weirdly enough, has interest in reacquiring Bo Byram. What about the Toronto Maple Leafs? I mean, Brad Treliving is involved in everything. So I could probably name about five other teams on top of that, but I don't think it'll go beyond the group that I've already mentioned.
Well, there's a few teams that you didn't mention that I am interested because of that right side defenseman. Duffer's changed my mind on it. At first, I was like, the Sabres are all set on defense. And then he's like, whoa, wait a second. They still could use a top pair defenseman to play with Dahlin, another right shot that could play there. And so Rasmus Anderson in Calgary, Noah Dobson with the Islanders, Ekblad maybe as a UFA. Is there, you know, some traction in Anderson and Dobson most likely to be traded? Ekblad's a UFA, so that would be July 1.
Yeah, so I'd keep a real close eye on Noah Dobson and the New York Islanders. There's rumblings as we're sitting here live right now that, yeah, there could be something cooking there. To where? I've heard Utah only in a wildly speculative fashion, and I'm okay with that because that's where we're at in this window leading up to tomorrow's draft and then ultimately through a busy weekend that takes us into free agency. Bit of a head-scratcher for me, but again, it's contractual with the New York Islanders, right? He's a nice player. He's a nice player. Now over to Rasmus Anderson, the Calgary Flames. Tons of interest in him, as you would expect. The messaging that I get back from the Flames, though, is a little bit different in that they're like, okay, well, there's not necessarily a rush. You know, we do have time. Well, everybody has time when you've got the player under contract for one more year. But if you're seeing the return on some of these defensemen, these pieces, maybe that's enough. Or maybe it's enough for a team that doesn't land a defenseman. Like, you know, wherever Bo Byram ends up, again, assuming he is the next chip to fall here from Buffalo's perspective, the teams that miss out there, you know, they can't risk free agency. They can't. You know, Aaron Ekblad is either going to stay with the Florida Panthers or maybe lands in Utah. Okay, well, there's another, like, Utah's collecting players all of a sudden now. But I give Billy Armstrong and that group credit in Utah because they were being super aggressive. But those two defensemen in Dobson and Rasmus Anderson, they're in the same conversation, maybe not equal in player, but in terms of trade interest, they're in the same conversation as Bo Byram at this stage.
The CBA, the next one, close to being accepted?
Yeah, real close, right? I think Frank Cervelli reported that the expectation is that they could make an announcement as early as tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, what, are we supposed to be drinking out of a fire hose on Friday? Like, you know, we're in this whirlwind.
Not like you haven't done it.
I'm good with the trade speculation and the draft picks getting flipped. I mean, I've lived that since 1998. But to do a news dump on a Friday, which includes a new collective bargaining agreement, like, what are we doing? But that sounds like what they're doing. And that's fine. I mean, just get it over with. Here's an interesting twist to all of this, though, because probably what you want to know is, okay, well, what are some of the more intriguing details and changes that can be contained in the CBA? You know, there are a couple that I think are noteworthy. The one that is most noteworthy to most, I think, will probably be some form of a salary cap in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is going to be to dissuade the teams from doing what we've seen historically with LTIR usage, and then a player just magically pops into the playoffs. This year's example, Evander Kane and the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, the assurance around the trade deadline when there was rumor around Evander Kane potentially being traded was that there's zero chance he is going to be ready or available to the Oilers game one of the playoffs. We have the medical records. He's not physically going to be able to do that. Well, not only was he ready, I mean, he looked like he'd been vacationing and skating every day at the same time simultaneously for the last 6 months. I mean, he was like, boom, like right out of a cannon, Evander Kane. Now, he didn't look that great in the Stanley Cup final, but how do you argue with the success of that player? So Edmonton could come under fire here. The league hasn't officially decided. So that'll be one item. The revenue share plan will be another item. I don't know what it looks like. It could be better for smaller market clubs. But Commissioner Bettman literally warned everyone inside that boardroom yesterday in LA at the Board of Governors meetings, if any of this information leaks out and I find out who leaked it, I'm coming for your head.
All know that something is being leaked out because apparently 84 game regular season, which makes sense because it balances four in a division, three in the other division, your conference two.
It's coming from the player's side, though.
Maybe it is. Instead of 7 years UFAs and 8 years for your own players, it looks like it would be 6 years UFAs and 7 years for your own players. So one less years. There's a few things in there, but
I don't even know how much that matters anymore. Like the top guys, more and more what we're seeing, and we're talking about the top guys, the elite level guys. Mm-hmm. They're less concerned about that seventh or eighth year. Most of them, not all of them. Some guys like the financial security and getting that mega deal. But also, fellas, as you know, there are lots of players. I wouldn't be surprised to see McDavid do it, maybe Marner do it. Follow the Austin Matthews routine where you take a four-year extension going into your final year, which equates to five, so that you can continue to bite more out of that salary cap with that salary cap increasing. So we'll have tons of details on this I was going to say Friday, but I guess Friday's tomorrow. I don't even know what day
and we know you're drinking out of a fire hose. Good luck with that. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger from TSN. We're back after this.